advanced. And today we're going to look at his third strategy that Satan is using so successfully, and that is to pollute and plunder. You see, once Satan begins to fragment the home, once he begins to divide and then to draw out and devour, then he begins to pollute. He begins to go after the heart of the individual people in the home and to instill in that heart things that are displeasing to the Lord so that he can plunder and destroy that life. And we're going to talk a lot about what Satan is doing today through the venue of entertainment. Now, I know what I'm going to teach today and potentially next week is not going to be popular. I know that this lesson is going to kind of get us right in our living rooms, if you will, right into, you know, what's coming out of the earbuds in our lives and so forth. It's going to get personal. And I'm just telling you up front that I believe we need to take some time to examine those personal things, though. Because are we, maybe even unbeknownst to us, allowing Satan an entry point into our life where he is polluting the hearts of those that we love and even our own at times, and using that to destroy our family and to make us weak to his attack? And so we need to be aware of Satan and what he's doing, and by and large, in our heart, what's coming into our heart that we maybe are looking at or listening to or whatever the case may be. And sometimes people take the approach of, well, it's fun. It's just entertainment. It's just a movie. It's just a video game. It's just, music. What does it really matter? It doesn't really have influence over me like others might say. And I don't really have influence over my kids in that way. I mean, I can't dictate what they like and don't like, right? And we're going to talk a little bit in this lesson about what Satan is doing and then how we can combat against it. So to understand that, let's begin our study, number one, with understanding internal corruption. Internal corruption. Now, in 1 John 4, we're not going to read the whole passage for sake of time, but the Bible says in verse number 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." And then drop down to verse number 6, where the Bible says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, what is God teaching us? He's saying, listen, be careful. Why? There's two spirits out there. There's the spirit of truth and there's the spirit of error. There is God in his spirit, but then there is Satan, and he is the ruler of the world today, and he is competing for your heart. He wants to pollute your relationships. He wants to destroy your home, and the battle is very real, all right? Now, we understand life. You understand the piece of cake you just ate. You understand the chair you're sitting on. You understand the sound of my voice you're hearing through the speakers and the amplification of the microphone I'm wearing. We understand real life. And sometimes we interpret that to be that real life is real and the spiritual warfare stuff that pastors talk about is kind of real. But I would submit to you this morning the opposite is true. That the spiritual warfare in life that's going on is even more real than the life that you and I see right here and now. Now, why is that true? Because that will last forever. The life you and I know right now will not. Now, that cake might last longer than you want, and that's between you and the Lord. But it's not going to last forever, all right? This building is not going to last forever. Our life on this earth will not last forever. The Bible says it's a vapor. It's here one minute, it's gone the next. Our days are numbered. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. We all have a birth date. We all have a death date. We don't know what it is, but it's set. God knows it, and it's real. So our life on this earth is temporary. It's a vapor. But our life for all of eternity is real. And the battle for our heart and what we value is very real indeed. And we have to understand that Satan knows that, and he's striving to instill corruption in our hearts and in the hearts of our family. So what do we need to do? Well, first of all, letter A, we need to recognize the internal problem. We need to recognize that our hearts are susceptible to this attack from Satan. The Bible says in Titus 1:15, "Under the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." The Bible says in Galatians 5:9, class, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So sin, when it gets into our heart, is like an infection in the body. And it begins to corrupt and it begins to get worse until it can bring great devastation. And oftentimes, this sin or this infection, if you will be there for a long time before it is ever detected. And so before we can even diagnose or treat it, great damage has been done. It's like somebody going to the doctor and saying, I haven't been feeling well for a while. And the doctor's in and says, you've got terminal cancer. You've got 3 months to live. Now, sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes that's the way it is because we didn't go in the first time we didn't feel well. And something progressed and progressed and progressed and progressed and progressed that by the time we diagnosed it, the only treatment was the most severe because there was nothing else that could be done. It's the same thing with the condition of our heart. If we're allowing Satan to pollute our heart, if sin is coming into our life and we're not doing anything about it, then by the time it really shows itself for what it is, oftentimes it's too late. It's so big, it's so twisted, it's so bad that other than the most severe things, nothing can be done to rectify or to remedy that situation. So we have to recognize this morning as husbands and wives and moms and dads, listen, there's a battle going on for my heart. And I've got to recognize if I have an internal problem. I don't want to wait till it becomes a big problem. I want to get good at recognizing these things when they're small. When something is in my heart that displeases the Lord, even in the smallest way, I want to know about it so that I can do something about it. We don't want Satan to have any access into our life or into our home. Now, Paul described what happens when this sin comes in and this infection begins. Notice in Romans 7, verse 17. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So here's sin, here's this infection. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You say, Brother Roll, that was really confusing. I'm not sure if he's doing something or not doing something. Let me explain it. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, when sin gets into my heart and it's unchecked, and I just kind of let it go, all of a sudden I get to the point in my life where what I'm supposed to be doing, I don't even do it. And what I'm not supposed to be doing, and I know I'm not supposed to be doing it, I find myself doing that. And Paul said, I'm telling you, when sin gets in my life, and if it's not checked, it's not repented of, it's not gotten rid of out of my life, I get into this funk of life where what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not doing, and the stuff I know I'm not supposed to be doing, I find myself doing that. What was the culprit? What was the reason? Sin. Sin. Paul was saying, be very careful of what you allow into the heart of your life. So you've got to remember as a believer that sin is not who you are, but rather it is what is inside of you. And Satan will attempt to corrupt you on the inside by filling your heart with sin so that he can begin to change who God wants you to be. Now, in 2018, we are very dependent upon computers. You remember back to Y2K. We were coming into January 1, 2000, right? And there was the Y2K scare. Could the computers handle going to 2000? You know, the computers supposedly were not going to do it. We were going to lose power. They weren't going to pick up our garbage for 4 years. You know, we weren't going to have water. I mean, you know, remember all that stuff? And everybody was told to go buy a generator, go buy canned food, you know, get, I don't know what all, you know, build a bunker. I can't remember exactly what all you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do a lot of stuff. Get ready, because it's going to happen. And then I don't think anything happened. But anyway, but the idea was prepare because the computers may not be able to handle it. Well, that was in 2000. We're in 2018. Think about how much we rely on technology today. 78% of all of Americans own a smartphone. 99% access the internet regularly. On and on the statistics go that show we are immersed in technology. Now think about if a virus were to come to a computer and to end technology as we know it. Think about the devastation that that would bring to our country and the way that we live and operate. It would cripple America. Many of the newer cars would not operate. Planes would not operate. Power, water, a lot of the security and the data, the banking and these kinds of things, all of it would cease to operate as it does today. Why? Because a virus would get in, it would harm the security and integrity of these computer systems. Now, just as a virus can wreak that havoc in a computer technology. That's what sin does in the human heart. Sin gets in the human heart and it begins to infect and harm our body to the point where it corrupts us and we're not even who we used to be, and we ultimately deactivate the security system that God has given to us. Now, we're going to look at some of those tactics from Satan in a moment. But first of all, we've got to understand Satan is real. The attack is real. Your heart is vulnerable. So be aware. And this morning, my encouragement to you in love would just be, if there is something in your heart this morning that is displeasing to the Lord, please don't act like it's not there and it doesn't matter. It does. And if it goes unchecked, you're going to suffer. Your marriage is going to suffer. Your family is going to suffer because you're vulnerable to the attack of Satan and he is after your heart. So what do we have to do? Letter B, expose the spirits of this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have to expose the spirits of this world. We cannot be duped by, well, this is just kind of what everybody in 2018 does, so I guess it's no big deal. Can't do that. We have to have discerning men and women in this room that in their marriages and their homes are constantly on the lookout with a guard up, exposing the spirits of this world. And this particular activity or this particular movie or this particular song or this particular whatever that everybody is doing, and it's so wonderful and great, if you know that it has harm or can bring destruction to your heart or to your home or to your relationships, that you're willing to expose that and say, listen, we're not having that in our house. We're not going in that direction because there's something there that could ultimately hurt our heart, and we want to be careful against it. Now, this is not to lead you and I into fear. Okay, I'm not trying to scare us this morning because God is a spirit and he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world, but there is a war on and we've got to be aware of that and we've got to expose the enemy. We've got to protect our heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence for out of it are the issues of life, and we want the Lord to guide us in this way. So there is an eternal corruption. We've got to be recognizing that we're vulnerable to it. We've got to expose the enemy. So then what do we do? Number two, we need to understand the process of corruption. All right, so what is Satan doing to pollute hearts, to corrupt relationships and homes? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. James goes on to say, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So God says, listen, Satan is after you, your life, your mind, your home. He wants your conscience to be seared, but God wants you to live unspotted from this world. And we want to strive daily to keep our lives clean from the infections that Satan wants to plant to pollute and to destroy our hearts. So how do we do that? Well, we've got to know what Satan is doing and how he is doing it so that we can protect from it. So what's the process Satan uses? And here it is, letter A. It begins with attraction. Satan wants to attract us to the things of the world. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, Satan will always desire to enter into our heart and to begin to plant an attraction for the things that are dishonoring to the Lord. Now, and he's going to do it in a way that's very unassuming. It's going to be something we're going to have to discern and look for. Satan's going to disguise it very well to tempt you and I that, hey, this is okay. What's the big deal? This can be in my life or this can be in my home. It's not going to bring any harm and it's not going to be intimidating. It's not going to be scary, but Satan is going to use it for destruction. In May of 2015, up in Tacoma, Washington, a man got away with murdering 5 people in a row in broad daylight. How? The man wore brown shorts, brown button-up shirt, a nice belt and shoes, and a nice hat, and carried with him a cardboard box. And posing to be a UPS delivery man, he went to 5 different homes. He rang the doorbell. The individual came to the door. He stabbed them. They're at the doorway in broad daylight and then left. And committed that heinous crime 5 times in a row, same day. Why? Because the people looking at the man did not discern any threat. He looked fine. He had a package. What can be wrong with this? And it led to the end of their life. What does that teach you and I? That Satan works in the same way. Satan strives to look as harmless as possible. Satan doesn't want you and I to have a guard up. Satan is very good at taking something that is extremely dangerous and making it look at something that's not dangerous at all. In fact, it's even good and helpful to us. And we have to be very careful to discern, what is Satan trying to attract me to right now? What am I allowing into my life, our marriage, our home, that maybe I don't see as a problem, but maybe there is? And I need to be careful of that. Think about what Satan did to Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan came to Adam and Eve in the form of a serpent. He said, why don't you eat of that fruit? They said, because God said we can or we die. And Satan said, that's not true. In fact, the only reason that God doesn't want you to eat of that fruit is because if you do, you're going to be as wise as God. You're going to be your own God. So something that was so dangerous that if they ate it, they would die. Satan flips the table and says, you're not going to die. In fact, if you eat it, you're going to be a God. And what happens? They ate. And what happened? They were kicked out of the garden. Spiritual death came. And we're all under that sin curse today, thanks to that. But that's Satan's strategy. Satan is constantly taking that which is dangerous and that which is bad, and he's portraying this idea that it won't bring any harm to you at all. It's fine. And he begins to plant in there an attraction. Now, how do we detect Satan's trick of attraction in our home? The best way to defend the home against that is to closely walk with God and compare everything with the Word of God. So if we know that Satan is real, and he is, if we know his attack is real, and it is, if we know that Satan is after our heart and the hearts of those in our family, and he's trying to trick us into an attraction for something that would lead us away from God, how do we discern all that? Walk with God, read the Word of God, spend time in prayer, and examine what's coming into your life against the pages of Scripture. Is this true? Is it right? Is it helpful? Is it honoring? Is this what should be in my life? And be aware, because Satan is looking to develop an attraction. Then it leads, letter B, into an adaptation. Into an adaptation. He says, in having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The Bible describes people who get accustomed to sin as this seared with a hot iron. Now, if you've ever spent time around cattle, you know that it is a practice of a cattle rancher to brand the cattle. And there's some kind of an emblem or logo or branding formed in metal. And then that is put in fire until it is red hot. And then the cows are brought over and that branding iron is placed on the hide of that cow. And it singes, it burns that hide. And that logo, that emblem, that branding is now forever there. And that cow is marked. It's easy to determine who the owner is and these kinds of things. And if you went back to that cow, to that hide that was seared in branding, and you took a pin and you poked it or you tried to burn it again or whatever, the cow wouldn't feel anything. Why? Because the nerve endings and the tissue and that skin, it all been burned, it all been destroyed. It no longer has the ability to feel. That's exactly what Satan wants in your heart and mind. Satan wants you and I attracted to the things of this world and then beginning to adapt to those things in such a way that our conscience is seared. Now, just stop and think for a moment with me, okay? And let's just be real before God. Has anything entered into our life in the past week that maybe we should have been alarmed, but we were not? And I don't know what that would mean. Maybe it's something like someone around you or an entertainment or something took the Lord's name in vain. Now, the Bible is very clear. We're not supposed to do that. We're not to partake in it. We're not to hear it. We're not to be around it. But sometimes if we're not careful, that kind of stuff happens all the time and we don't even know. It might be cursing. It might be whatever. Some dishonest thing. It might be something that's happening around you or that, quite frankly, you're involved in. But because there's been an attraction, because there's been an adaptation, there's something there that's just existing and at no resistance from us because we have fallen prey to this process of Satan. If we're honest, our conscience is seared a little bit. We're not as discerning as we were. We're not as careful. There's stuff going on in our hearts and it's not right, but seemingly it doesn't bother us. And class, we need to be able to be honest before God this morning and say, Lord, if that's me, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want to live a life where things are happening around me or that I'm involved in that are displeasing to you and I act as if I don't even care or notice. I want to be so close to you that if something around me is displeasing to you, that I sense it immediately, that I get away from it, that I do what I can to prevent it or to correct it or whatever the case may be. I don't want to go down that way. And God says, be careful. But because when you become used to sin, when you allow Satan to attract you and to begin to adapt your lifestyle according to that sin, it's very dangerous. You're leading your family down a wrong path, and the Holy Spirit will reject and he will resist and he will do all he can. But if you're not listening to the Spirit of God, you're leading your family to destruction. So what do? You've got to listen to the warning signals. If it's been a while, class member, since you've sensed in your heart the Spirit of God saying, hey, don't do that. Hey, be careful. If it's been a while, stop and ask yourself, why? Why am I not hearing the Spirit of God tell me, Gabe, be careful? Do we not all live in the same world? Is not sin abounding wherever we turn? Is not Satan working overtime all the time, trying to destroy hearts and lives and homes? I would have to imagine within 1 week's time there would be an opportunity for the Spirit of God to say to me, Gabe, be careful. So if I'm not hearing that, why? Is that because the Spirit of God is not speaking it? Or is it because my conscience has been seared? So the Spirit's doing his job. I'm just not doing mine. I've not been listening and I've not been responding obediently to him. And now the warnings are not there because I've ignored them too long. And I've got to get alone with the Lord and I've got to make that right and say, God, please forgive me. I don't want to live a life where I have no help or warning signal. You know, in the newer cars, the little orange light in the mirrors, and it indicates when someone maybe is in a blind spot and it's, hey, be careful. Be careful merging into that lane this way or that. There's potential danger there you may not see. Can I just ask you an honest question individually? Are all of your warning signals working? Do all of your indicators work? Do all of the horns work? Do all of the things in your life that alert you to potential danger that you may not see? Honest question, are they working? And if they're not working, if they're not there alerting you, hey, be careful. Hey, watch out. Hey, you better look into that. Oh, don't just rush to that decision. Be careful. If they're not working, ask yourself, why? Why are the warning signals not there? I know there's danger out there. I know Satan's after my heart and after my home. So, Lord, if there's an area where I've been attracted and I've adapted some lifestyle and I'm seared and I'm not discerning of that, Lord, help me fix those warning signals and then heed and listen to them. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. When our heart has adapted to the influence of sin and Satan, the process is over. Our conscience has been seared. So we must get back to giving God authority in our life, being on God's path and listening to His warnings. In class, I just want to encourage you. I know we're going in the summer months. I know today's supposed to be over 100 degrees. I know people get out of sync and out of schedule, and it just seems like Satan has a feast day in summertime. And I just want to encourage you. I'm not saying you have to wear a three-piece suit to the beach. But here's what I am saying. You're going to have to exercise some discernment. You're going to have to make sure the warning signals are working. You're going to have to make sure there's some awareness that there's a real war on. Satan's after my heart. He's after my home. He wants to attract me with the things of this world that look good. Seemingly, there's nothing wrong. In fact, it could even be for my benefit. But if I don't see the hook in that bait, man, we're going to be hurting. And if I somehow have adapted some areas of my life that I no longer have even hearing from God, then I've got to get alone with the Lord this week and say, God, will you please forgive me? Will you help me? I don't know how to lead this marriage. I don't know how to lead this home. I don't know how to please and honor you in all things, but I'm surely not going to do it without your help. So if I've done something that has kept your help at bay, I'm sorry. Forgive me and come back. Give me the warning signals again. Make the bells and whistles go off. Help me to see danger before it's too late. I want to be careful of falling prey to the adaptation. I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to finish this. And I know next week we have the groundbreaking. And our whole class, we're going to be out at the job site. So it's going to be 2 weeks from today on Father's Day that we're going to finish this. And I just want to encourage everybody here, be there. And between now and then, take some time to consider your heart and home and life. Lord, is there something going on in my life that is displeasing to Thee? Let me recognize there's a war on, and Satan's after my heart. He's made no secret about it. He wants internal corruption in me. So Lord, help me to discern where's that coming from, and help me to stay away from the danger zones. And may you and I be very careful with the attraction things of this world. And may we be even more careful to any area where we've adapted to that sinful life. Lord, help us not to sear the conscience, but help us to be sensitive to the warnings of your Spirit. Heavenly Father, I love you. And I thank you, Lord, for our class. And Lord, I love our class. They've been so kind to Susanna and I today. And Lord, we love them. We love growing with them. We love serving with them. We love fellowshipping with them. We just love them. And Lord, I thank you for this series. And we've kind of been looking at the home from a different angle. But this morning, we are reminded of the reality. There's a war on. Satan is after our lives, our hearts, our homes, our relationships, our marriages, our families. So Lord, help us to be aware of that. Help us to be sensitive to the fact that He's looking for a way into our heart. And may we be very discerning and protective of what comes into our life and our heart. And Lord, if there's an area where we've seared the conscience, where you have tried to warn, but we've not listened, and so now that warning's not even working, and we are so susceptible to that danger, and we don't even know it. Lord, if that's the case, would you please help us today? Would we find the humility to come before you and to say we're sorry, and to communicate that we need you? And God, would you begin speaking to us again? Would you begin prompting us and warning us and loving us? And Lord, help us in that process to listen and to obey and to give you lordship in our life. And may we desire more than anything to live a life that pleases and honors you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today to be aware. What does Satan want to do? He wants to pollute and then to plunder. Help us to be on guard and to be sensitive to that attack and careful to stay away from it. Lord, I pray that you bless next week and our class being a part of the combined rally and groundbreaking. And then 2 weeks from today on Father's Day, as we come to finish this lesson, God, I pray that you would stir in our hearts a passion for you and that our home would be governed according to your will and to your word. Bless our class, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.